it on the whole time before I turned it off, then I had it on. That's great. I'm glad you covered me. I didn't go to the bathroom while I had that on, did I? You never know. That happened when I was in church and the pastor had just got a wireless mic and went into the bathroom, left it on, and we were all out there and heard the toilet flush and everything was great. Oh, my goodness. That stuff with the children leaves me speechless. Pictures of my kids when they were little, and there's pictures of my dad in there, and just one of those Tom out there, and all. Oh my goodness, just good stuff. Even saw a picture of Gary in there. Wow, look at that. Yeah, what are you going to do, right? Hey, it's so good to have you here on this Father's Day. I'm so excited about what the Lord is doing at PLC. We're pushing the envelope. The Lord has told me to basically to get, not that I wasn't busy, but to get busy and to trust him and to start pushing and believing. He told me to see farther, go farther, move the stakes and expect, and then he told me to seize the moment. And now, basically, he's like, what are you waiting for? And, you know, so when I preach today, I'm really preaching to myself. So I'm excited about things that are coming, things that we will see together. And we'll see them now, and then when they're in fulfillment, we'll go, we saw that. We saw that before it ever happened. The Lord told us that. I was going to tell you a joke, but Ron already told you a couple, so I might save it till next week. Those were good. I don't want to take away his giddy-up. I'm very honored to be here today. Emotional for me, not just because I'm privileged to have my father here, but I get to speak for my Heavenly Father. But, you know, it was 4 years ago this weekend, the enemy tried to take me out. And he hasn't been able to do that, thanks to my Heavenly Father. And so I'm very, very blessed to be here. I got to show you this, though. I got this bracelet yesterday from my youngest son and his wife. It's got all the names of the grandkids on it in the order they were born, which is pretty cool. Today I got from Mal and Justin these wonderful socks that have Arrow and Asher's picture on them. So if you want to know, like you want some originals, talk to Mallory. She'll show you how to get those. It says Best Pops or something on the sock. They're like, here you go. I'm like, I'm wearing those. I've got matching. No, I don't. Just thought I'd throw that out there. Woo! This church is different. Well, it's so good to have you with us today. Make sure if you're a guest today that you do get a free T-shirt and something different for the men. I know it's summer and I want you to look around and go, oh, you know, we have families that are on scheduled vacations and people do that in the summer. I don't know. That's okay, isn't it? It's good to take a break, doesn't it? You know, never take a break from God because you are the church, right? So we're thankful for that, and there people are getting some well-needed rest. And I want to say a big God bless you to Andy Ebert and Scott Ebert. And just pray for them. Andy's father passed away yesterday. And so they are ministering to the family, and we want to send our love to Andy and Scott. We love them so much. But all the fathers today, and all the mothers too, because there's enough, I think, we have, thanks to Devin and Cassie Jackson, we have... Well, what they call them in Texas, because it's a jalapeno wrapped in bacon. Anything wrapped in bacon has got to be from God, probably, you know. But they call them, when I said it earlier, and I can't even think of one, Texas Twinkies. Jalapeno poppers wrapped in bacon, and they'll be out in the foyer when church is done. So, you know, if you'd be really attentive, I might preach faster. You can probably get more than one. I mean, you know, I think he made like 100 and something of them, so... I said any extra could gladly go on my desk, and we'd probably make that happen. We've been talking about walking it out and on the road to winning, and being this is Father's Day, I wanted to speak. I want the fathers to kind of pay attention as we just kind of go through some of this stuff. But we're never going to see God's victory in the things that, I'm going to move this down just, oh, that's why I lost my little, yeah, well, anyway, somewhere if you find the little black thing, the foam thing, Ron, I'm sorry. I lost the last one, too. They're my toys, and you can't play with them. Anyway, I was wondering, like, why am I hearing this? Because that's what that little black fuzzy thing does. But anyway, you got to get past what our normal senses see, what we can see, touch, taste, hear, and smell. And so we have to get past that because we have been brought up in that system. Everything we know and everything we are, it's because we've experienced it and this is what we found, or this hurt us and so we don't do that anymore, or whatever. And so we want to find out, how do we walk this out? How do we get victory? So dads, I know for me, I'm still a work in progress and I'm still trying to do the things that, you know, that I need to do and be consistent with all of those. Last week, we talked about Moses, and he was telling the story of what they've been through, all the Israelites, and he was giving the synopsis of this whole thing, that, you know, this journey they've had in the last 40 years, and it was right, really, done before he died. So it was done within a day or two or three days before he died, and he got instructions from the Lord. Deuteronomy 2:24, "Rise, take your journey, cross over the river Arnon. Look, I have given into your hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and engage him in battle." So that's the scripture we're kind of pulling some things out of. And we've been talking about winning. Rise up, we've talked about that. And most of these people, if you remember in the first week, they were in the wilderness. They didn't know anything of Egypt. Well, they grew up with just going outside, picking up food, that's it. You know, when the food disappeared, we got to do something else. What do you mean? And that was their normal. We talked about in week one. Some of us have had different normals. You're like, well, you know, this is how you are, and this was your normal growing up in your house. Maybe you came from a different type of family, and you know, this was this and this was that. So your normal was different than somebody else's normal. If you've lived in inner city, your normal may be different than somebody that's lived in rural or suburbs, and you know, it just wasn't what you did. If you were a farmer and you grew up, and this is your day, you milked the cows, you grabbed the eggs, you did this. If you weren't into that and you were into something else, your normal was different. So knowing that everybody's normal isn't the same, we have to look at, okay, God, for me to win, let me look at what your normal is. What do I got to do to just do to win the way you want me to win, the way that you have planned? First thing they had to understand, there's more than what they'd experienced. So if I can tell you anything today, there's whatever you've experienced, and hopefully I know we've all could say the good, the bad, and the ugly, but even at the good, there's more. And people say, well, there's bad, there's more. No, in this life, you'll have tribulation. I get that. But really, isn't it how perspective on how you go after things? There's more good coming for you. And you can avoid a lot of the bad if we do more of the good. Somebody say amen. They had to take their journey. God had a specific purpose for each person. And so many times we just say, God, I want to do this. You bless it. And that's not how this works. There's a lot of people that live, they don't know what their purpose is. They don't know what God wants them to do. If I get a question, I get this one a lot. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know what God's will for my life. So they have to take that journey. What is it that you want? You know, there's that saying, find out what you love to do and do it so well that somebody pays you to do it. Legally, of course. And whatever you like, biblically, of course. let's not go there. So understanding all that, we have to take the journey. And if God supplies a specific purpose for you, would it not make sense that he would supply a way for you to accomplish that? I could almost guarantee in a group that this size and those that are watching online, maybe up to 80% would have questions if they're even doing what the Lord called them to do. Now, I went to college, and I changed my major twice just going into college. And that's common. And I'd love to say that. Some people go in there, and they know what they want to do. And I knew people that went in there, got their degree, and are not doing anything that their degree is about. You know, and you kind of go like, what? But they're just like, yeah, I got the degree. Sometimes they felt like they were supposed to get the degree or they whatever, but that's not what they like. And they just couldn't make it happen. And they hope they're doing what God's called them to do, but they aren't sure. They kind of let fate guide them. They aren't living large and being in charge. They're not taking life by storm. They're just letting whatever comes to them, that's their dealt, and they just go with it. They just react to things. They're not proactive, they're reactive. And God didn't make you to live that way. Psalm 139, 16, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me when yet there were none of them. So God has a plan for each of us. He's already written it in a book. But you have total freedom whether you follow that or not. You have a free will. You don't have to follow God. You don't have to follow his plan. You don't have to do any of it. But we're on a journey, aren't we? Some people, you're like, yeah, I don't want to stay too close to them. You ever been by somebody and you're like, if lightning strikes, I get it. But if we're going to be on the winning side, we have to follow the plan that the guy that made you has, the master. You're designed to accomplish some purpose. Some of you can do things I could never do and make it look easy, like it's just nothing. Like make jalapeno roppers with bacon. I probably couldn't do that very well. Maybe I could, but they were really good, I'm just saying. Everything you do is something, a gift that God put in you. Do you know, like in the world today, there's over 63 babies aborted. In 2022, that was the leading cause of death in the world was abortion. Any other cause? More people died from abortion. Other cause? What were the plans of those children? Do you realize how much we could be missing? Because we are doing things our way and not his. He's got a written purpose and a book and a plan. You can have a wonderful life. People need to know that the kingdom of God is wonderful. Yeah, you're going to have issues because we live in this world. But he's overcome those. And if I submit to him, I'm part of the overcomer group. A lot of us realize God has a plan, but many of us don't take him up on it. The other day I was driving, I don't know if this happens to you, but it happened to me twice. On the way home, I went to do an errand for PK, and on the way home, I was praying in the spirit, missed my turn. Went right back. I was like, ah, missed my turn. But I was okay. Like, all right, well, whatever. I'll just go down here and hit the next road. Missed my turn. I'm like, I don't even know where I'm at, and I live over there. So I had to get out my GPS and have it tell me where I needed to go. But see, God has a God's plan. He has a God's plan for you. That system is in place if you'll listen to it. I just need to start using the authority that he gave me and act upon the instructions that he gave me. I have to rise up. I have to stir myself up. You ever have to stir yourself up? Sometimes things don't bother you, and then after a while you get to a point and you're like, okay, it's on. Sometimes you got to stir yourself up. Get a holy dissatisfaction. Ah, look at you. No, it wasn't Justin. Justin. One of you took this and took it to the cookie table. Thanks for coming. God is speaking to you, but there's also other voices, aren't there? There are other things going on that are trying to get your attention. Mammon, man's security system, just money. You got to make this, got to do that, got to, you know, and that's the whole thing. We all run money, 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 money. Everybody needs money. If I had more money, that'd be the answer. All I need is more money. If I just had this and I just had that. Man's security system. But according to the kingdom, we can go through the kingdom and be blessed in a different way and take care of man's security system and just get it out of the way. But we're afraid to step out. What happens if we lose it all? What happens if we make a mistake? Is God not big enough if you screw this up that he can't find you? I mean, that he can't help you? We let our circumstances tell us what we can or cannot do. We let our checkbook speak to us. I'd love to help that person, but I just can't. I want to get to the place where if God says it, fine, let's do it. Life is not a dress rehearsal. We get to go around this thing once. Let's go for it. John Wayne said it this way, we're burning daylight. I don't get to do that so much, so that was fun. So every day of our life, we're either moving towards something or we're just wasting time. Now, it's no secret now, we're believing the Lord told us to move closer. So we're moving back closer to the church and closer to mom and dad to help out a little bit there. But, I mean, she doesn't waste time. If the Lord says something to her, she doesn't waste time. That girl is like Johnny on the spot. I mean, out of nowhere, she starts doing. She's doing all. I'm like, what is going on? And so we talked, and that's what's going on. We have to get things ready. And I'm like, okay. We don't have time to waste. Do you understand? There is an expiration date. We need to be about doing the Father's business. We need to all of us need to rise up and take our journey. And the number three thing we've talked about or we're about to talk about here is just to pass over the river Arnon or cross the river. Arnon was the boundary to the shores of the Sion kingdom. And if you'd stay on the outside, you probably could stay out of trouble. But that wasn't what the instructions said. The instructions said to cross over. If you cross over, there's going to be a fight. You're on my land. They're not going to like that. God told them to cross over and enter the enemy territory. And immediately when you start doing things that ruffle the feathers of the enemy, mammon starts talking to you or earth systems talking to you. Better watch out. Because you put yourself at risk. You put yourself in confrontation. But here's the attitude you have to have. Don't be on the defensive, be on the offensive. You need to move into enemy territory. I'm just here to tell you, you're not going to accomplish what God has for you staying put. It's just not going to happen. If you want to play church, have fun, because it's not going to be, I'm just saying, you're not going to get your answers playing church. You are the church. And to be the church, you got to do what the church is supposed to do. What's God's purpose for your life? Get out of the boat and move towards what God says. And start doing things that are going to make, you can't grow in the comfort zone. You just don't grow there. I'm not saying it's not nice to stay there and catch your breath, but you can't live there. Because you can't grow there. You can't go there either and live and stay and do the things that God wants you to do. So many believers are passive. Anything to avoid confrontation. In this world, if you're a Christian, how many know we can't say anything? Anybody else has a viewpoint, but if you're a believer, you better keep your mouth shut. Somebody got their feathers ruffled and then accusations fly. And there's many people who do whatever it takes just to keep the peace. At the cost of lies and deception, I don't think so. I hope you all are registered to vote. We need to vote. Jesus made a whip and he went. Jesus kind of was the original Indiana Jones. He did it twice. Didn't just do it once. You ever think Jesus did that and goes, guys, I'm sorry. Jesus never had to do that. He goes in, turns over tables, chases money changers out, did it twice. And he was constantly bumping up against the status quo. And they were constantly trying to just get him to trip up, get him to mess up. And it's amazing, they couldn't do it. And he was confronting them all the time. Matthew 6:5 says, and when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets. They may have been seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. 7 and 8 of that same chapter, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. They think they'll be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Now, in this chapter, if you go on, that's where Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom, and you will get the things. What are the things? The things that everybody's after. But God has to be first. Jesus addressed hypocrites, and he made no apologies for it. What's crazy to me, and Kim as well, I've had people that came up here, and they came up, and they said, I need you to pray over me because I'm tormented by demons. And I feel like they're on me or they almost possess me sometimes. Would you pray for me? Well, yes, I'll pray for you. But you have to make those choices of what door they're coming in at. Shut the door. So I pray, person gets free. And they say, this is awesome. Thank you, thank you. Then later, they get mad. And they get wonderful letters. And then, you know, and they don't go here because they're mad at God about whatever, but God just set them free. It just baffles me. Today we have hide-and-seek Christians. At all costs, avoid confrontation. There's a mom that took her boy, dropped him off at camp, and she just worried about him all of camp. She was worried that people would try to sway him one way, or if they found out he was a believer, they would make fun of him. That was her biggest worry. They would just ridicule him the whole week at camp. And so when she picked him up, he said, Mom, it was great. We went horseback riding, went swimming. It was wonderful. She said, did they make fun of you because you're a Christian? And he said, no, Mom, they never found out. And she said, phew, good. That's how the average Christian is living. You see, we are supposed to be alive, not dead. We should be different than the world. We should stand out. If people you work with or live around don't know that you're a Christian, you've been there a long time, then you're not living out loud enough. God's not involved enough in your life. There's so much garbage being promoted today. The wokeness that's being pushed at everyone. The average believer, they don't want to cross the river because that's going to cause conflict. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't stand, especially in enemy territory, if you're not going to stand for God, you're going to fall for the enemy. You need to stand for God. God won't release his power to those who stay camouflaged. And he won't. If you're going to just like, I'm not going to declare the things of God, then why do you expect the answers to come? Matthew 16, 18, Jesus says, I also say to you that you are Peter. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. We're not supposed to be defensive all the time, everybody. We don't be praying, oh God, keep the devil away from me. I want the devil to be like, oh no, he's awake. You ever a kid like that? Maddie was one of those kids. Her feet hit the I bet the angels are like, oh dear God, somebody help me this time. We are supposed to be charging the gates of hell. The devil is afraid of you if you use the authority. Those gates cannot prevail against you and I. James 4, 7, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will what? Flee. It doesn't say you hide from the devil and he won't find you. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. Quit doing that. Most believers won't stand up. We are to be salt and light in this world. We are supposed to be involved. You can't depend on liberals to do it. Jesus created two genders, male and female. The Democrats created the rest. Did I say that? Just saying. I'm Brett Gleesman and I approve this message. I'm sorry. I appreciate all the enthusiasm, but we need to live like that. We need to live out loud. Do it at work, with our family, here at church. Is God the most important thing? Show everybody how you love God. I want to live a life of winning, but I got to keep myself stirred up so I can rise up and take the journey. And I got to go into enemy territory. I mean, there are fathers in the room. If someone ever broke into my house, I'm not going to lay on the floor and go, oh, God, don't let him get to Maddie or don't let him get to Kim. No. I'm going to be like, God, give me strength. I'm going to throw them out on the front yard while she's calling 911. And better not get to my gun first. Did I say that too? Wow. Bless God. You're going to have to fight. We're going to have to involve ourselves in this war. You don't have to do it in hate. You can still do it in love. I have people that go, what do you think? Well, I don't agree with that. You don't? No, not at all. And sometimes they want to know your agreement. Sometimes they just want to, they can do whatever they want. But I'm going to stand on the word. If this is what the word says, this is what I say. War isn't new to the United States. You know, we all know that. We've all had veterans. And thank God for our freedom. I mean, don't even get me. I'm just riled up. People that won't stand for the national anthem or kneel or whatever, then go live somewhere else. I mean, God help you, because men and women paid for your freedom through the grace of God. Okay, I'm sorry for being... No, I'm not. I'm just... All right. We've went through Civil War, Revolutionary War, World War I, World War II. It was, you know, a threat to the country's survival. We're in war now, but it's not that kind of war. A lot of people don't even believe we're at war. We're fighting for the soul of this nation. You need to vote. The battle we are is demonic. We're against the demonic of this world. They're trying. I mean, the enemy's trying so much. And he's being subtle. And he tries to stay hidden. And we're being infiltrated, the United States, from the outside, but more from the inside. Not just coming across the borders. It's okay. I mean, I think America could be for anybody. It's home of the brave and free. I get it. And you can believe whatever you want, but you can't stop us from believing what the Bible says. If you're going to win in life, you got to cross over. And it won't be comfortable. You can't remain stationary. You can't hide. You're going to have to take a stand. 1 Kings 17:1, Elijah the Tishbite and the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew or rain these years except at my word." And so this is what he does. Elijah, he goes up to the man responsible, Ahab. And he said, "The Lord God of Israel," he didn't use the woke God garbage. He didn't try to, he just said, "This is what God says to you." And 18:19 of 1 Kings, it says, "Now therefore stand and gather all Israel on Mount Carmel, 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah, and who eat at the Jezebel's table." So he crosses over the river, and the power of God shows up. And you know why? Because Elijah's taking God. God just told me this the other day, and we just sang it today. He said, "Take me at my word, I'll finish what I started." So Elijah, he's just doing, God said, "Listen, this is what I want you to do." So he goes over and he calls him out. He says, "Bring all these guys here and I'll show you who is in charge. Few people will stand up and say, this is wrong." You know, there's a lot of people that they know it's wrong, but they just won't stand up and say it. They're waiting for somebody that will. God loves you no matter what, so please don't misunderstand me. There's nothing you can do to make him love you less. There's nothing you can do to make him love you more. If you don't stand up, he won't love you less. If you do nothing about your faith to bring it to another level or whatever, and you like where you're at and you want to live that way, he's still going to love you the same. He loves you completely. I'm not saying it'll be easy, but his love won't change. I'm saying it won't be easy for you. Because you're going to be in turmoil inside. You're going to know you want to do something. God wants you to do something, and you're not doing it. Because if God's Spirit lives in you, he's not there to be quiet. He's there to be shown to people to get them free. You got to stand for something. You'll have to cross the river. You're going to have to confront. You have to enter enemy territory. You have to take some risks. Some of us need a backbone. We've got good enough wishbone. We need a backbone. Let me just stand up. Now, I've told you the story. I'm going to condense it real quick. I was in fifth grade, and there was a bully in our school. His name was Eddie Bolt. And I think Eddie's passed away now. I think he was in a wreck or something. I don't know. But he beat up so many kids. Him and his gang. I mean, you know, in fifth grade, you have kindergarten through fifth grade. And it's like in anything else. In high school, the fifth graders are the seniors in the K through five. You know, and so nobody, you know, "Oh, they're a fifth grader." That was the, "Oh, boy, if you're a fifth grader, you ruled the school." Well, Eddie, and nobody messed with him because his guys, I remember, they'd pick on a kid and his guys would stop everybody from coming. And act like they're going to beat them up just so he could beat this kid up. And the kid would go in the school crying. Nobody could help him. And I'd seen it. And Eddie had taken my bike. And most people would say it wasn't a great bike, but it was my dad's bike. My dad had that bike when he was a kid. gave me his bike, I put a big banana purple seat on it. And it had sparkles on the seat. And I had those chopper handlebars. And it had a big sissy bar in the back, you know, that you could lean on. And I even had those little things you could put on the end of your handles. That, and then I had a squirrel tail. And I, you know. It was a cool bike because Dad wasn't buying me a new one. So if I wanted a bike, that's the one I got. So, but I made it as cool as I could. And he said, you want to fix it up, do whatever you want to it. Well, Eddie took my bike. We're at flag football in fifth grade. And he took my bike and I ran after him. But, of course, he's on a bike. And he left. And so we had practice. And everybody's, what are you going to do? I'm like, let's play football. I don't know. I could walk home. So we played football, and he came back, and he took my bike, and he threw it down. And everybody looks, now it's amazing how many friends you have. They're all just like, what are you going to do? Gleese, what are you going to do? He threw my bike down, and I said to him, I said, don't you ever take my bike again. Eddie said, who's going to stop me? Which is a common bully line. And I looked around, and the coach was standing right there. Nobody was saying anything. Everybody's just like. So I said, I will. And the coach, I thought, I could say that because I felt this like, I got about 20 witnesses here that saw him steal my bike or take it off or whatever, throw it down. I got an adult here. I'm good. I mean, Perry Mason could win this case. And the coach, this is what he does. All right, everybody, get back. This fight's between Brett and Eddie. I mean, this guy was legendary. I watched him pound, you know, and he just, I mean, he had green teeth, gritty knuckles, hair was all messed up, snot coming out his nose. He's just nasty. Every other word was not what we should say, especially in fifth grade. Potty mouth. So I walked up to him and we fought. And I won. It wasn't pretty, but I won. And both of us were a little bloody, and the coach let all that happen. I know I took my bike home, and he left with his two guru guys or whatever. The next day, I come back to school. He met me before I just got the school property. And I thought, oh, here we go. And he said, anybody messes with you, you let me know. I got him. I'm like, what? Anything wrong? If anybody messes with you, we'll take care of them. Right, guys? And they go, yeah. I don't need you to take care of it. But for the rest of the school year, I'd be talking to somebody. You okay? Yeah, Eddie, I'm good. I'm good. What happened? I confronted that, and the situation changed. Twisted. Take your journey. Get over the river. And then he says, behold, I've given you into your hands Sion. You know what behold means? Look. He says, I have given. It hadn't happened yet. He's telling them, I've given this to you. It's like, Brett, I'm putting Eddie in your hands. Go get it. It hadn't been conquered. The land hadn't been taken. And God said something that they couldn't see. So how do you do that? 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18 goes on to say, it just says, I'm just going to paraphrase and go to the bottom. But the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Chapter 5 says that we die to this current body and we're replaced by a heavenly one. Now you can't see that heavenly body, but you got to believe you're going to get one. I mean, if you're further on in your season, you're like, yes, amen. Jack, like, amen. We want to keep you around, Jack, though. So. 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. The normal Christian walks by, that's how we're supposed to, but they walk by sight and not by faith. We don't know what the word says. Faith is believing what it says and then acting on it. I'm going to do what God says. This is what I'm going to do. He says, do that. That's what I'm going to do. Why? Because we're fully persuaded. Kim and I have been talking for the last few weeks about being fully persuaded. And sometimes we'll think we're persuaded, and then we find out, oh, I don't know if I'm... Because when the pressure comes, you find out how much you're really persuaded, don't you? So, that being said, we find out if we're fully persuaded, and then we find... Which is, if you are on the offensive... Let me put it this way. If there's a pipe underwater and it's leaking, you could look at it and go, Rob's a plumber, so he would know this. You could say, there's a leak. But if you're in the positive, you're not saying there isn't a leak. You're saying, I got to fix that problem. You understand how I'm going to look at it? I'm going to look at it as the offensive. Now I see where the leak is. I see where I'm not fully persuaded. So now I can fix that issue and get myself to the place where I am like, God, I got it. I don't know about you, but I've seen too much. I've seen the Lord do things. I've seen him in my life, and I have fruit to prove it. And he has fully persuaded me and told me things and told her things and told you things. And we've seen things. We've prayed, and we've seen God do amazing things. This is what he's talking about. You have to have a walk of faith, not of sight. If you have to see it to believe it, you're going to be frustrated. But I believe it, and I'll see it. I have to go past my five senses. I got to rise up. I have to take my journey. I got to cross the river and confront the enemy. I got to be ready to fight. What has God called you to do? Fathers, who else is going to leave a legacy? Those kids are looking to you. I love the fact that, you know, I've got, we had our granddaughters the other day, and I got to tell them Thunder Girl stories, which it means nothing to you, but my kids grew up, I told them a story every night. And I'm not saying, look at me, I'm just telling you. It was, I felt just inside me. I made up stories where they were the Lightning Boys and Mal and Maddie were the Thunder Girls and they were children of God and they fought off everything, you know, whatever it was, and they would win in the end, and whatever was coming against them, they would zap it blind and stupid by the time it was over. And they loved it. Well, now my grandkids, I get to continue that legacy, so to speak. And so my Eowyn is 4, and she tells PK, Guamo, will we come to your house? Will Pops tell us the Thunder Girl stories? And she said, yes. So I told them 3 stories, and I could have talked to them for hours, and they were, oh. But it just, I'm like, oh. But what I'm telling you is, you are leaving a legacy whether you think you are or not. If you do nothing, you are still leaving a legacy of nothing. Dads, nobody can speak into their life like you. Nobody. You're the guy that rides beside him when the bike, like I said with Mao, taught her how to ride the bike, taught my kids how to drive. You know, I taught my kids how to drive a car in the graveyard. Can't hurt anybody there. But there's all those roads and all that stuff. It's real easy then for them to, okay, turn on your signal, turn right here, stop, back out, come out this way. It was just a great place, and it was not pressured like being in real traffic, and you should be thanking God. We didn't need Maddie behind the wheel until she knew a little bit about driving. God will use you, dads. Be the man. Be the man. You got to see on the inside before you see it on the outside. I have to tell, you know, sometimes I tell Kim, I said, I don't even know. Sometimes I don't know if I'm making a difference. And she'll be like, honey, you are. You are. And then later it's like they won't leave me alone. Because sometimes I feel like they're just, you know, yeah, Pops, that's great. Bye. Most believers are dominated by their 5 senses. Roman calls that carnal. And most of us think carnal is evil, but it simply means 5 senses. That's what carnal is. If you're carnal, they're talking about touch, taste, hear, smell, see, feel. And there's a place for those things because God gave you those, and you can't really function without them. But they're not supposed to rule you or limit you. You want God to be there and to tell you, because sometimes you have to recognize your feelings, but they have to be submitted under the authority inside. Does that make sense? Because there'll be something like, especially guys, and let me just tell you this. Women feel different than we do. And you're like, duh. I mean, I know, but I'm saying, I'll be like, this is a great deal. This is great. She'll be like, I don't like it. But I'm like, oh. But all the numbers... We're not supposed to. Don't feel it. You know, and most generally, if I don't listen to her, because aren't we supposed to be in agreement? At least that, then you got to figure it out. And then maybe she's not listening to you, and then maybe you can go back. But there may be something there you need to listen to. Because if you jump ahead, she'd be right. Romans 8, 6 and 8, for the carnally minded is death, but spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, but it's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Okay. What I'm saying is God has a better way than man's way. Isn't that true? He tells me stuff that doesn't make sense. Man's way says second place is first place loser. God is, his way is like the last will be first. I mean, it's just weird. When you feel like I'm in a deficit, man's way will be hoard. God's way will be give. It doesn't seem to make sense to your carnal mind, your five senses, but I don't follow that. I want to follow him. Subject them to him. You see, because when we put ourselves under him, then now that's how things happen. They're like, I never even saw that coming. How'd that happen? How did those fish get multiplied? How did that oil keep pouring? You've got to ask yourself, man didn't do that. So how did that happen? God did that. Because if each of those people in those cases, the woman with the issue of blood, if I can just touch his garment, I only have meal and oil enough. I'm going to feed my kid me and we're going to die. Oh, you have five loaves and two fish. In all of those instances and many, many more, if they would have went by their own feelings, which is what they were doing in the beginning, they would have no success. But if you remember, the prophet said, do like you said, but make me one first. In other words, it doesn't make sense to you. Bring those five loaves and fish to me, Jesus says. Peter, throw over here. Jesus, Peter, okay. It doesn't have to make sense, people. You just have to believe. And then when it happens, people will go, how'd that happen? You saw it before it happened. You saw it. And God recognized that because he gave you that dream. And when you guys match from the physical, what was in the spiritual gets pulled back into the physical. What you're believing for. When you become fully persuaded. Would you bow your heads? Close your eyes.